Now entering Nerdist.com.
Greetings and welcome to Today We Learned. I'm one of your hosts, Dan Casey.
And my name's Rick.
Rixel.
Rixel.
Rixel and Mort Dan. Nailed it. Guys, what's going on?
Guys, what's going on?
Together again, reunited, and it feels so good.
It's like we've never left this place.
Yeah, it's like I was just waiting silently in the corner of the studio the entire time. We were just doing an extended bit.
We were doing an extended
like
bit.
Like Coach Ferratu.
Coach Ferratu.
I can't believe the gym teacher was a vampire.
Hey, I knew it all the time. With the last name like Ferratu, what are you going
to
do?
They changed it to Ellis Island. It used to be Ferratowitz. So there's that. Guys, we have maybe the best guest that we've ever had on the show today.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah. All the guests, I would say, are just like garbage people in comparison. Not like sanitation workers who provide a valuable service, just like literal trash people. Because today's show stars the most important people, arguably, to this podcast.
Two of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah, two people. I mean, women want them. Men want to be them. Men want them. Women want to be them.
Women don't want one of them.
Gender does not matter. Everyone wants to be and or be on them.
Absolutely.
So I've read in my fan fiction.
I've read lots of fan fiction.
God, that just got me bummed out because I just realized that there's probably reams of podcast fan fiction about a bunch of podcast hosts. There's probably one where like Mark Maron's just going to town on Ira Glass. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Someone
that's
draw
there.
That
that's at my fan fiction site. WTF.
Fancast.
American Life.
Pod fiction.
Pod asked. Anyway, guys, we got a great show for you today. We're not going to hem and haw, beat around the bush, to lead you on a wild goose chase.
No, because you're going to hear plenty of this.
You're going to hear plenty of wild geese because we filmed this live at
an aviary, a goose ranch.
A goose ranch. Welcome to the goose ranch.
Welcome to the... Hi, everybody.
My family's raised geese in these parts for near on 300 years.
The goose ranch is a... My family passed it on to me, and I pass it down to my kids.
We mainly supply people who are reenacting the final sequences from A Christmas Story. Christmas Carol.
Like,
not A Christmas Story. You'll shoot your eye out with this goose blaster.
You don't know what you need goose for.
Oh, you're excited
for
Paul Feig's Goose Blasters reboot?
I love it. Especially all females.
Yeah.
Huge fan
all female geese.
Huge fan honk, of all female
honk,
geese.
Honk if you like
Goose
geese.
Blasters. I'm so excited for Paul Feig's
Goose Blasters.
I'm also excited for the female Memento that's on TV right now.
Called Blind Spot?
Called Blind Spot.
Yeah, called Miami Ink Blind Spot Edition.
I'm also excited for the female version of Minority Report that's out also. That's on ABC.
Just call Minority Report? That's on Fox.
It's called Minority Report. It's on Fox. I don't watch the show, but I'll tell you what. I like the movie with Tom Cruise, and I like the idea of it, but the billboards... The name of the show is Minority Report, and the star of it is this very talented African actress. And I can't, my brain is so ingrained into thinking the word minority when I see
someone
of color. It's like, what's going on?
Anyway, guys, all this and more.
All this and more.
In today's episode.
We talk enough about Tom Cruise on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. No spoilers for the end of the show, but you'll find out. Stick it out. I promise you it's worth it.
Yes.
Tom Cruise. Is not here.
He shows up.
Yes.
But he does. He's Tom.
He shows up.
Every one of us is Tom Cruise.
Every person we mention on today's show.
You don't even understand this, that everybody is Tom Cruise.
Yeah. To a certain extent.
You are who you are, and you're Tom Cruise.
He's just a crowdsourced person. Anyway.
He's like the Hive Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Nerdist presents the Hive Tom starring Tom Cruise. Yarvo.
Rain Hive.
We need you to reshoot the movie.
Born on
Tom
the 4th
Cruise.
Of Hive.
Born on the Hive of July.
Born on the 4th of the
gun.
Hive.
So stupid. Anyway, without further ado,
collateral hive.
Hive lateral. There we go. Without further ado, today we learned number 105 with Razzle and Dan and Tom Cruise.
We didn't correlate that. One more time, we'll keep that in for safety.
All right.
Today we learn number 105 with Razzle and Dan. And Tom Cruise.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Hey,
Previously on Today We Learned.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Oh, you changed your voice.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I was waiting for more previously.
Previously on Today We Learned. Oh, my God, this podcast is heading for a meteor. Oh, my God, no! Next time on Today We Learned.
Well, can't believe we dodged that meteor. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hey, Dan, I'm a little tired from dodging that meteor.
Oh, man, well, you sure did steer us out of that collision course on the good ship. Today we learned. Today we learned.
I don't know. Yeah, you kind of had your stutter reminded me of Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I've been watching Rick and Morty too much, so it's just like slipping into my normal speech pattern.
I don't know, Rick.
Tiny podcast.
I don't know, Rick. Tiny Rick.
Jeez, Rick. I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
I don't know if we really learned anything today.
That's the name of the album, Summer. The name of the show was Knight Rider, wasn't it? They didn't ride around on Michael Knight. They
Keep
rode around in
podcast
Kit.
Podcast safe. This is what you sound like. Guys, today you learned that if you're not watching Rick and Morty already, you goofed. It's so good.
You're all going to die anyways. You might as well watch Rick and Morty. listen, Rick.
Here's a fact about Rick and Morty that I'm sure you guys
know.
I'm sure you guys know.
I
think it is the funniest show on TV. By the time this comes out, I think the season finale will have aired. But that just means that you should just go back and binge watch all of them because I think they're on AdultSwim.com or
possibly, binging's never hurted anybody.
Possibly Hulu. they're possibly on Hulu. So
we need to learn up. We need to get down their voices and just do an entire cast.
Oh, jeez, man. Yes, and we're
listen, Dan. You went to Hawaii, huh?
Yeah, I did. I was in Hawaii, Rick.
I don't know how good that sounds, but it sounds good in my headphones because half my ear doesn't work anyway. So there we go. Not my headphones. My headphones work. It's just my ear's been grossly clogged for like a month and a half because I don't
tell
have
me more.
I don't
you should
like
get
a thing. And I've been using the drops, and it doesn't
using
do
that
nothing.
Like weird irrigation. Irrigation.
Yeah,
why don't they call it that?
It doesn't do nothing. It just doesn't.
Tiny ear.
It sounds, but it's good when I go to concerts. Like last night, I went to Van Halen. It was loud, and I'd be like, "Hey, I can only hear out of one of my ear." It's like,
hey,
it's like in stereo, but I can only hear mono.
Why are you guys playing the mono mix? What are you, the Beach Boys?
So
here's a fun fact about Rick and Morty.
Yes.
Justin Roiland voices both Rick and Morty. A lot of people, when they hear it, think that Dan Harmon, one of the show's co-creators, voices Rick as well. But that's not the case. It's all Justin Roiland.
That's
usually it's pretty impressive because they're pretty
distinctly different.
Yeah, like super growl. I imagine his vocal cords are all like messed up at the end of a shoot.
Well, I mean, unless they. Because they have them written ahead of time, I imagine, and a lot of them are improv. So I got to imagine he records all of Rick's first, maybe. I don't know how they do that.
Yeah. Someone was telling me one of my favorite episodes is Rick's D Minutes from the first season, where basically they find Rick installs like an interdimensional cable box.
I'm ants in my eyes.
I'm ants in my eyes, Johnson. Yeah, they have like they have cable from literally every galaxy possible. And... a friend of mine had Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon on the podcast, and they said they just put Justin Roiland in the booth with a bottle of Hennessy, made him finish it, then that's when they started recording.
So I believe
it's
it.
Just like
that
sound,
door,
yeah.
That door commercial. Is this commercial still a thing?
Yeah.
Ants in your eyes, Johnson. Rick and Morty is so funny. I love that show.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Today, you guys learned that you should be watching that.
You should be watching Rick and Morty. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Razzle.
You've been to...
I've been all over.
You've been all over. You've been all over. I was listening.
I've been globetrotting.
I'll just go because my tab's here. I'll just go and order my tabs if I'm going to do this. Have you been to New Orleans?
I haven't been to New Orleans, no.
I've been to New Orleans for 15 minutes, as you guys have heard the story prior. I went there for Mardi Gras 1 year, and I got there after it ended at 12 o'clock midnight, and the streets were empty.
Back
so
when it was
turned back around.
Normal Thursday.
So
it would have been Wednesday
night at 12 o'clock, so we turned back around and went back to Panama City, Florida, because we were in college and we were doing spring break. But what I'm getting to here, Dan.
Go on.
If that is your real name.
No.
And Aristotle, while you're sitting in that corner. There is some friends of mine and his sister
Nice.
I'm sure you've seen, if you're whatever, Zach's sister, my co-host of my other podcast, Zach Levi, his sister got married.
Congratulations.
Shout out to Shekinah. Congrats. Shekinah and Ian for their wedding thing there. But they got married in New Orleans. And my buddy Joel Moore, who's also been on the show.
Yes.
Joel David Moore. I mean, fuck it. Everybody that's been on the show is down there pretty much. Like, not everybody, but like Zach's down there. Claire Grant and Seth Green are down there.
Nice.
Because they're all really good friends with her and everything like that. But anyways, they're all down there at this wedding. And they're all posting like Instagram photos of the wedding and everything. And they're like, for a while, they were like, a lot of them were like, second lining in New Orleans, second lining in New Orleans. And I'm like, I don't fucking know what this second lining is.
Yeah.
Because it's just pictures of them like in the street dancing. So I looked up second lining. And second lining is a thing in parades where it's the I'm going to read the Wikipedia here because it's easier to do that rather than me stammer. But second line, like the number two, second line, is a tradition in brass band parades in New Orleans, Louisiana. The main line or first line is the main section of the parade or the members of the actual club with the parading permit, as well as the brass band. So the people who actually have the permit to do the parade and the floats and all of that, they're called the main line. And then behind them is the band they have part of the parade.
And that's just people who join in the parade?
The second line is those who follow the band just to enjoy the music and dance.
Nice.
So you have the normal parade. You have the regular parade. They got the permits. They went through the laws. They have everything in order, in accordance with the city. They're having a parade. And then all of these other people come to just dance and prance around and listen to the music. They're called the second line. And that's open to the public. And it used to be a hugely popular thing, and then it kind of dwindled, and it got like it got rowdy, and people would frown upon that because people need to get to and from places. As myself, I'm not a huge fan of parades or marathons that go all around Los Angeles preventing from me getting to my destination. But over the years, and especially after 9/11, it's become a well-accepted thing, and they will promote it whenever. Like, they tend to promote when there are parades in town, so you can come and just kind of dance and have a fun, enjoyable time in the New Orleans area.
And Hannibal Buress has a really funny stand-up bit about that. Apparently, it's super easy for anyone to just get a parade permit. I think it's like $50 for the city to get the permit. And then I think it's like $200 to like hire the band and a police escort, and they just let you walk around. Hannibal's bit, I highly recommend listening to it.
He's a great comedian.
It's not, that album is not my favorite, but that's far and away the funniest bit on there. Not Animal Furnace, the second one he did. Anyway, it basically saying that like he's walking down the street and then he stops the parade so he can go into a bar to get a bunch of whiskey gingers, like Jameson and gingers for him and his buddies. And the cop goes, "You boys should have just bought a bottle." It's just like giving him liquor advice instead of just being like, "Well, you're drinking in the street, hiring me to do this parade for you." Yeah, apparently it's super easy. And that's I would love to do that.
Just like, do that.
If I ever go down there, I'd probably spend the majority of my time just commissioning parades.
Just commissioning parades.
Yeah.
Mainlining
parades.
Just block out a parade route. And even if it's just a bar crawl, just have it be so that way nobody else can use the street from noon till 4 in the afternoon. Second lining. So that was an interesting, fun idea to me, is that they promote and there's a phrase for following parades and just doing your own thing.
Yeah. Now, what do you think the predominant food style of New Orleans is? If you just had to wager a guess, what would you say it is?
I would say Creole.
Creole? Did you look this up as well? Or
no,
Hazel?
But I've been to...
You've been to New Orleans?
I know about New Orleans, and I know about...
Yeah.
I've seen movies where...
Sorry.
Like, I've seen that Disney movie where that Princess and the Frog was in New Orleans, and it was Creole.
Little Mermaid. Yeah, I love that one.
And then I saw...
Oh,
people hate when I say I seen, but I saw.
I seen it.
I swear. Oh, Lord.
I do declare. That's correct. Creole is the actual correct kind of cuisine.
Is that Cajun?
For which New Orleans is known.
No,
the difference. A lot of people think it's Cajun because they love Gambit from the X-Men. And James Carvel, the Ragin' Cajun. Actually, so Cajun cuisine is produced
cuisine.
By Acadian or Cajun settlers of southwest Louisiana, whereas Creole is a combination of both French and African styles with
Ooh.
Local ingredients. So that is more indicative of the melting pot, the veritable fondue that this country is in which this country is swimming. Yeah.
Okay. So Cajun is like French.
Cajun is like
from
French settlers.
Descendants of Acadia.
Yeah, Acadian settlers who settled in southwest Louisiana, whereas Creole is Frafrican.
We say Acadia like I know where Acadia is from. Acadia was a colony of New France in northeastern North America that included parts of eastern Quebec, the Maritime Provinces, and modern-day Maine. So Acadia, so Louisiana in Cajun, the Cajun cuisine and Cajun dishes are come from the north, the far North America, Acadia area. So they come from like Quebec and Maine used to be a France territory before Maine became part of the United States, I'm assuming. And that's what was known as Acadia. And the people who first came from France and settled in Acadia then moved to Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And created
some,
Cajun.
And then some spread into Canada.
Yes.
Yeah. Maine used to be a colony of Massachusetts. They were our Australia, our weird prisoners. And now they're their own state.
They're their own state.
Good for you, Maine, you weirdos.
Of well-to-do people wearing seersucker. I'm thinking of Connecticut.
Yeah, seersucker, that's definitely Connecticut.
Straw hats.
Or like Martha's Vineyard. But let's talk about...
crab juice and cough galoshes.
You mentioned... Fat Tuesday, a.k.a. Mardi Gras.
Yes.
When do you think the first Mardi Gras took place?
First Mardi Gras took place in... I'm going to take a stab in the dark here.
Just take a quick old stab. You mother... How dare you?
I was trying to look so I could just make the audience think I'm just taking a guess. I'm going to say 1942.
1942, you're close. It was 1703.
Whoa!
And it actually was not in New Orleans, which is where it is most associated with. It took place 1703 in Mobile, Alabama.
Ooh, Mobile, Alabama. I know Mobile. My grandma used to go to Mobile a lot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We're going Mobile.
My grandmother's from a town called... Coffee Springs, Alabama, which has a population of don't come here. There's only four of us. It's a very small area. Coffee Springs, Alabama. It's like a road.
Ooh, I'd love some Coffee Springs right now. I could use some caffeine in my day. Another fun fact about New Orleans, poker and craps were both invented in New Orleans. The game of craps itself was brought to New Orleans by Bernard de Marigny. I hope I said that properly.
De Marigny.
Marigny.
I was just thinking of Rebecca De Mornay from that one Tom Cruise movie.
Oh, Top
Risky
Gun?
Risky Business.
Top Gun. She played Goose.
This is Maverick requesting a flyby. Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full.
This is a funny little bit at the end here. It's for craps. Its name probably derives from crapaud. C-R-A-P-A-U-D, the French word for frog, since some Americans thought of the French as frog eaters.
What?
A derogatory term still used to this day.
That damn frog eaters in there.
These damn frog eaters gifting us statues of liberty, think they can buy our love
place in
with
our
the big old torch lady?
Just saying,
no.
I'm going to plead the fifth and hang out here in the
I'll be eating my freedom fries.
I'm not going to take sides.
Thank
not
you
sides.
Very much.
I,
lock
mine,
box.
Mine transformed into JFK. Yours?
I went George W. Bush from... 2002 era SNL.
I am going to sit here.
Are you rare? What's your Harry? Throw some amazing R's in there.
Eat my frog legs.
Kiss my grits.
Here while we're talking about food and origins.
Uh-huh.
Here you go, Dan. Here's the thing. I was listening to a podcast today.
Two
podcasts. Two of the things here I have pulled up have to do with that
what
podcast.
What podcast are you listening to, your asshole? Let's get some free plugs.
I was giving them... my ears. It's a podcast I listen to a lot. It's called 99% Invisible.
Nice. About child soldiers.
Yes. It's about fiber optics and the use
it's
of
about
the use in the war that fiber optics have in cloaks and daggers. That movie Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, and that Marvel Comics series Cloak and Dagger.
about two different things. Cloak and Dagger were the heroes. Cloak and Dagger, the movie, was about a video game. Right?
Cloak yes.
and Dagger. It was what's that dude's name? I don't know. Sweeney or
Sweeney Todd.
Dabney
the
Coleman.
Demon Barber of
Dabney
Fleet
Coleman,
Street.
I believe.
Ah, yes. You mean real life J. Jonah Jameson.
Yeah, real life J. Jonah Jameson. Dabney Coleman, also in, I believe, The Last Starfighter, wasn't he? Or am I thinking of a different dude? Anyways, here we go.
He was in 9 to 5.
9 to 5. Yeah, he was. He was the bad guy.
Yeah,
in
he was the mean boss, the sexist boss.
That's a good
boss.
Movie. Tell
it's
you
a great
what,
movie. If you haven't seen 9 to 5, go see it.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't remade that. They're remaking everything. Yesterday, here's the thing. I'll real quick before I get into this fact. In my Feedly, my RSS feed, nothing surprises me anymore. At like 1 in the afternoon, I seen Variety magazine post an article about Lethal Weapon as being produced into a TV show by ABC, I believe.
Oh, yeah, it's happening. It's happening, yeah. All right.
And then an hour later on Deadline.com, I seen
MacGyver.
MacGyver is being converted into a TV
because
series.
Because truly
by
creativity
CBS.
Is dead.
And I literally, the other day, I read about a new A-Team being rebooted. Because
yeah, A-Team's coming back. I think the Coach reboot is actually dead.
That's dead.
Yeah, that
dead
was
in the water.
That wasn't so much a reboot as it was a sequel that no one asked for.
They yes. So 99% Invisible. Dan, you travel a lot.
I do.
First off, real quick, I'm getting at fortune cookies. Fortune cookies
love
are
them.
Not Chinese. Fortune cookies.
Gotta have one every time I travel.
A few years ago, there was like 110 lottery winners. A Powerball thing because the fortune cookie had the numbers in them. Now in this the podcast is really good to listen to it. It's one I believe I can't remember the name of it, but it was a couple weeks ago and it talked about how there's only like 4 major companies that make fortune cookies, and one of which is a dude's like small warehouse, like maybe 2 sizes of the studio. It's like a storage space where him and his daughter just print all of the fortunes for Panda Express, and they print a bunch of other things too.
Really?
And there's, if you see a fortune in a fortune cookie that has like blue corners, that's from a company in New York. Now, but in this podcast that I was listening to, first off, did you know this doesn't, I didn't know this. And this, I'm going to look into this because this is horrific and this upsets me so much because nobody really talks about this. But Americans,
we
like to be all hoity toity about being the best country in the world.
But we're number one.
Did you know that we had concentration camps in the 1940s?
Yes,
I did not
for,
know that.
Japanese Americans.
People.
Yeah,
isn't that
really,
horrible? We
yeah,
never.
A,
I feel
it's
like
a horrible
that's
part
not talked
of our.
Enough.
It's a horrible part of the American legacy that is often glossed over.
It's glossed over
because you know no
we
one.
Point out
we never
Germany
want to paint ourselves
that, but,
as the bad guys. We want to be on the moralistic high ground. We want to. We are the only nation who has used a nuclear weapon on another nation, and we also interned citizens of the that nation and people who have that Japanese descent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I mean, conversely, and I'm not what I'm saying, yeah, we're the first and only people who've used a nuclear 2 nuclear bombs on a nation, which we shouldn't have. Then again, it was a new technology that we didn't realize what we had, and had we not, other countries probably could have built those eventually, and
oh, yeah,
if it wasn't for us using them, there'd probably been more used, unfortunately. I'm not saying it was a good thing, but in the end, it was probably better that 2 were one and done than other countries inventing them and using them. Mm-hmm. But what I'm getting at is we shouldn't have done that. But also, I didn't know this, and that's what I'm getting as we had concentration camps that we put Japanese in because of Pearl Harbor. But that is mentioned on this podcast, and the reason that's mentioned is because it talks about Chinese fortune cookies. It talks about how everybody thinks they're Chinese, but they're not. They were invented as dessert because when the Chinese immigrants came over to the United States, they worked on like the railroads and they worked on a lot of things.
Railroad.
They worked in mines and a lot of things, and a lot of the American men, there was a huge Chinese backlash, and they all of a sudden hated these Chinese immigrants for taking their jobs.
Yeah,
so they went in.
It was
so,
like the same. They supplanted what the Irish were originally.
Exactly. So these Chinese immigrants decided, you know what? Fuck it. We're gonna do jobs that men don't want, which are like laundry and cooking food.
Yeah.
So they started these laundromats and they started cooking food, and they started much like chop suey is kind of like making fun of Americans, but Americans love it because it's really just like a bunch of bunch of stuff. Like, yeah, it's not a real Chinese dish. And then eventually, Americans want dessert, so they're like, well, what should we make? So, but the what I'm getting at here is I'm tying them all together because I'm paraphrasing this 20-minute podcast, is that fortune cookies originated in Japan, and they were like cracker. The as far back as the 19th century, and I'm reading Wikipedia here now, a cookie very similar in appearance to the modern fortune cookie was made in Kyoto, Japan. And there is a Japanese temple tradition of random fortunes called omikuji. The Japanese version of the cookie differs in several ways. They are a little bit larger and made of darker dough, and their batter contains sesame and miso rather than vanilla and butter. But the cookie folding is predominantly the same. Now, Japanese immigrants would kind of make those out here in the United States, and they would kind of do those as the dishes. But then when all of them got sent to these concentration camps, the Chinese restaurants kind of took those over and started making like these vanilla and these more savory and these more tasty ones for the American desserts. And hence that's how now they're like, they kind of exploded in popularity over the years as these Chinese fortune cookies, when they don't have them in China. They're not actual Chinese things, and they originated from a Japanese like fortune cracker type of a thing. So I thought that was a bunch of facts rolled into a long story about rambling about fortune cookies, but so that's that.
And another to pile on there real quick, another little weird Chinese food fact. Yeah. What do you think, when you think of Chinese food, what do you typically order? What's like your go-to?
My go-to, because it's Americanized, it's Chinese food for the Americans.
Yeah, not dim sum. Talking like Americanized Chinese food.
I would say like chicken and like broccoli or beef and broccoli.
Yeah, my go-to is like General Tso's. It's like an orange-flavored chicken.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So not quite orange chicken. It's a little spicier.
Okay.
And yeah, but it's interesting because I grew up in the Boston area, and we didn't call it General Tso's there. Is called General Gao's chicken, and that's only in the Northeast. It's like a weird regional difference where in the Boston area and other parts of New England, it's called General Gao. I don't know why.
The same. They just don't know. No.
G-A-O versus T-S-O.
T-S-O, G-A-O.
Yeah. So, weird little fun fact. There's actually there's a whole documentary on Netflix about General Tso's chicken and how it became like the – because it's the most popular – Americanized Chinese dish. And there's like a fascinating documentary on Netflix about how it came to the United States, how it like burst out, like exploded in popularity. You know, there's this restaurant that claims to be like the first people to serve it and stuff like that. It's very, very cool stuff. If you like weird food facts and knowledge and stuff like that, highly recommend seeking it out.
Well, it's like interesting too, on the podcast they mentioned that a lot of the Chinese food we think of isn't Chinese food. It's just it was created and commandeered and assimilated by these Chinese chefs and immigrants that came over, and they were making food for the Americans. And the Americans wanted like beef and like broccoli or like green beans, and they wanted like chicken. So they merged the two together and made like this offspring Chinese food cuisine, so to speak, that's not really technically like Chinese cuisine.
Yeah. But here's something that absolutely is Americanized, something that is an American product. M&M's.
Oh, I love
M&M's. In your mouth, not in your hands. Who wants candy that's going to melt in your hands? You know who wants that? A monster. And I want to be friends with that person. And M&M's, you know, it's not just they thought those letters sounded good. It actually stands for stuff. It stands for Mars and Murray. So basically the company, the Mars Bar Company, the Mars Corporation, whatever, is founded by, Forrest Mars, and he approached, Bruce Murray, who was the son of the Hershey's Company president, William Murray, about going into business together. So they became financial partners, especially, since Hershey's had a big control of the chocolate ration that was made available during World War II when they rationed a lot of foodstuffs, including chocolate. So, Murray had a 20% stake in the company, and for several years, M&M's were made using Hershey's chocolate. However, the two M's, according to Mental Floss, didn't see eye to eye. So in 1949, Mars bought out Murray for $1 million, took control. But To this day, it remains M&M's. And they were actually, the idea for them came from the Spanish Civil War. Soldiers during the Spanish Civil War provided the inspiration because he observed soldiers eating chocolate candies in a hard, sugary shell on the battlefield. He took a visit to Forrest Mars Sr., the son of the Mars Company founder, had a falling out with his dad. 1932, went to England to sort of find himself and create his own candy company. Like, hey, I'm going to start my own company, Dad, but with blackjack and hookers, and I'll do it in England. So he took a visit to Spain during the country's civil war, according to popular legend, and he saw the soldiers eating this candy. He was like, why are they doing that? Because chocolate sales plummeted during the summertime, so it would keep them from melting quite so much. And then he copied the idea from another company, English candy maker Roundtrees of York, who makes Smarties.
Smarties.
I've had Smarties. Yeah. They're better M&Ms. They're just better. The early Smarties really took off, and that's probably what caused Mars to be like, hey, they might be onto something. So in classic American fashion, they stole it, bought a manufacturing plant for M&M's chocolate candies in New Jersey and Newark, and in 1941 they patented it and started making them.
Boom.
So suck it, England.
Suck it, England. Spain. Hey, don't suck it, England. We love you. We got listeners over there.
Hey. Suck.
Hey, here's the thing. Here's the thing about stuff.
Go on.
In 1874, this is about metal detectors. In 1874, Parisian inventor Gustave Trouvet developed a handheld device for locating and extracting metal objects such as bullets from human patients. Inspired by Trouvet, Alexander Graham Bell, inventor of the telephone.
Ring, ring.
So to speak. Disputable, depending on who you talk to, developed a similar device to attempt to locate a bullet lodged in the chest of American President James Garfield in 1881. The metal detector worked correctly, but the attempt was unsuccessful because the metal coil spring bed Garfield was lying on confused the detector. So Alexander Graham Bell pretty much invented the modern day that we think of metal detector, and it worked properly, but it worked too properly, and it couldn't find the bullet shot in Garfield because he was laying on a metal bed.
Wow.
So
all that, I could think of that entire time was Garfield the cat taking a bullet.
I know. Eating some lasagna.
I never made a lasagna I didn't like.
Garfield without Garfield.
It's a fantastic webcomic. If you guys don't know that, Garfield minus Garfield, it's basically what would happen if John Arbuckle did not have a cat named Garfield but still reacted the same way.
It's like Fight Club Garfield.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like this lonely, insane man screaming to himself. It's kind of a bummer, but it's amazing as well. I recommend that. Also, the oldest living cat to date was 26 years old, according to Reddit.com. Thanks, Reddit. Switching gears slightly, let's talk about England for one more second.
Let's talk about England.
So, Liechtenstein, another country in Europe, actually, their national anthem has the same theme song as the United Kingdom. So, when they play each other in sporting events, they play the same theme twice. Once for
That's
each
amazing.
Of them.
I like
yeah,
it.
It's just a weird little thing. I like it.
I like twice.
I like it.
Nice and twice.
So,
nicely, twicely.
Razzle.
That's what they call me, nicely, twicely. That's what the girls call me, nicely. No.
They call me Snidely Whiplash.
They call me... That's David Lee. I seen Van Halen last night, a couple weeks ago. Well, you'll listen to this on Monday.
It's
so,
true. He did see them
here's
last
the deal.
Night. Whenever you listen to this, Razzle will have seen Van Halen the night before.
Here's the thing. Technically, if you listen to this on Monday when it comes out, chances are I've seen them last night because I'm thinking about going to see them a second time. I seen them on Friday night.
Anytime go see them on in Sunday history night. That you listen to this podcast, Razzle will have seen Van Halen once, possibly two times in the past 3 days.
Yes. That's just the law of averages if you do math.
Yeah.
And
the amount of times that
days.
This guy has seen Van Halen, 66,000. Do the math.
David Lee Roth.
Do the math. Do the Roth.
Let me tell you. Do the Roth. First off, David Lee Roth is one of the best frontmen of all time. And he's just a good interview. And he's a good – his mind's whatever.
Yeah.
He said a good quote yesterday in the show that's just a really good quote. And it's – let me – I'm trying to think of what it was. But it's not who you love. It's who love – who. It's not who you love. It's who wants to love you again. And that's so like – to me, that like I just
that
I think
hit,
that's
hit
it's,
home.
It hit home because
yeah.
nobody loves me. No, that's not true. But it's
oh man,
it's if you follow my Twitter, I make a lot of jokes about dating in LA because it sucks. But the fact of the matter is it's just a funny thing too, because it's be someone in the end, you know, be mm-hmm. someone that people want to love again, be yeah. someone that people want to be around again, be nice, be cool, be yeah, fun.
Don't be a dingus.
Yeah, I don't. We thought we were doing that because we were getting on the nicely, twicely joke or whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
And for more awesome David Lee Roth stories, I highly recommend checking out the episode we did with Henry Rollins.
Yes.
Because Henry Rollins interviewed David extensively for his autobiography or his biography.
Crazy from the Heat.
Yeah. So just like he had some insane stories about the guy. Anyway. So Batman. I like him. You like him. The American people think he's pretty swell.
I think he's swell.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we know about Batman is that he doesn't kill. He doesn't kill bad guys.
Newsfest. Kill people, Batman. Be better. Be better.
He used to. I know. He used to kill people back
in... Here's a real quick sub note. There's a funny video on YouTube of Batman's kill count, and it's of all the movies, every Batman movie, Batman inadvertently kills people, and it just goes up. But
100%. Any superhero movie, there is untold civilian casualties. Yeah, so the Man one they Steel's point to most is Man of Steel. But, like, people definitely died in Avengers. Like, there's no way.
Spider-Man stopping that train in Spider-Man 2.
Someone clearly
people
died.
People got whiplash.
Yeah, people got whiplash. Like, a man was paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just some truly horrific stuff. Like, no one gets out unscathed. How many people died in Age of Ultron? Like, not only in the nation of Simcovia, but also in the like, chase through South Korea. So many people must have died.
Died.
And in Winter Soldier. Also, wait. We have a weird theory at the office. Is Captain America the Winter Soldier just a ripoff of Triple X State of the Union?
I didn't see the third one.
Think about it.
I didn't see the second one.
Oh, man. You got to go back.
Vin Diesel wasn't in it, man. I'll watch Vin Diesel. I'm not going to watch Cube. No, you're not going to watch Cube. Shout out to Cube. Be on our show.
Hey, Ice Cube, why don't you get straight out of rescheduling on us and come be on our show?
What's State of the Nation about?
It's basically, so Ice Cube plays Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
it's basically like there's the government turns out to be like has been infiltrated and corrupt and like taken over. It's just like a stupid.
So it's Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah, pretty much. And,
makes sense. Every movie's a rehash. Like Fast
yeah, they
and Furious,
they try to build a Triskelion. Yeah, it was Point Break. Now they're rebooting Point Break for some godforsaken reason. Man, there's a lot of just reboots. Yeah. Stop
Batman.
It.
Yes.
But Batman, yeah, used to kill people. There's actually a scene in Batman number one where Batman guns down a bunch of henchmen with a machine gun saying, "Much as I hate to take human life, I'm afraid that this time it's necessary."
Well, here's it's interesting that you talk about Batman because I'm scrolling Reddit here.
Because my Google alert just told me a bunch of bat facts.
Well, no, I'm scrolling Reddit here.
Bat facts.
And bad facts. And here's the fun fact. Gotham is a nickname for New York City, as you know. It was coined by Washington Irving in 1807.
Writer of Sleepy Hollow. Not
Washington
the TV show.
Irving Magic Johnson.
Yes, Washington Irving... Berlin.
Washington. Denzel Washington Irving.
All right.
It was coined by
Washington. Stopping trains.
This is an audio podcast, so you can't see me smacking my lips and like puckering my cheeks.
You can't see me killing a bunch of guys with stuff I found in a Home Depot, like I'm in The Equalizer, starring Denzel Washington, directed by Antoine Fuqua on
wanting
DVD
to be,
and Blu-ray now.
Wanting to be John Wick, but it's not as good.
The John Wickalizer.
John Wickalizer.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's
that
back.
Noise you hear is Aristotle opening the studio door to leave.
Yeah, Aristotle's going to smoke cigarettes in the bathroom and skip out on class. This is a great opportunity to talk shit on Aristotle.
Yeah, real quick, Gotham literally means goat's town. But yes, let's talk. Aristotle's gone.
Gotham.
Hey, Aristotle.
Wait, goat's town or God's town?
Gotham, goat's town.
Goat's town.
Like
sorry,
goat-sy.
God. Sorry, I hope it's not like goatsy.
Goatsy's town.
That's some vintage internet
there. Yeah, don't look up goatsy
guys,
if you're at
don't
work.
Look up goatsy. Don't look up lemon party.
Don't look up,
tub girl.
Don't look up
Do you remember Whitehouse.com?
Of course I do.
Oh, man. For those of you who don't remember, Whitehouse.com, that was early days of the internet. That they managed to squat on that URL very early, and it looked official, but then it was just all porn. Porn, 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 100% porn.
Porn, 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 porn,
porn. Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. And here's something pretty cool about Batman, actually. This happened fairly recently.
Yes.
He was... So Batman was created by two people, but you wouldn't know that unless you're sort of a student of comics or just interested in Batman's history.
I know this.
You know, most people know that he's created by Bob Kane, but he was co-created by Bill Finger.
Bill Finger!
And for years and years, Bill Finger has been denied... the credit that he was due, because Bob Kane's father was a lawyer and sort of negotiated the contracts in such a way that Bob Kane would receive the lion's share of the credit and the royalties. And Bill Finger fought against this for years and years and ultimately died penniless. It was a really tragic story. But finally, DC Comics reached an agreement, and now he is credited as the official co-creator of Batman.
Yeah, I wrote that.
Which is fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Because a lot of people don't know, Bill Finger is the reason that Batman is a character that you love. Yeah. He is the reason behind the Batmobile, the iconic costume, like utility belt. So many of the things that make Batman Batman are the result of Bill Finger. Bob Kane had a good idea, but Bill Finger is the guy who made it a cultural icon.
Yes. Yes. And he got hosed out of it.
Yeah. So, long story short, Bill Finger.
Hold on, Aristotle came back and he's motioning and he's trying to say something to us.
Yeah, Bill Finger is a Jack Kirbyan figure, you could argue. Although Jack Kirby tends to get more credit overall than Bill Finger does for a lot of stuff. Jack Kirby, for those of you who don't know, aka King Kirby, is he's a legend in the modern comics landscape. Without him, we would not really have much of the Marvel universe that we see today, or a lot of the elements of the DC universe. He started his career as an animator, doing fill-ins for different scenes at Max Fleischer Studios, working on early cartoons there. Hated it so much, he left, started doing comics, doing like romance comics and westerns, pretty much drawing whatever he would. He was kind of like, did an inhuman amount of work. He would like just bang out like so many pages per day. And then finally he wound up working at Marvel alongside a young entrepreneurial spirit named Stan Lee. And together the two of them created a bunch of characters, including the Fantastic Four, like the Hulk, Iron Man, so many of these characters, Captain America. Captain America was actually created earlier, but there's still Kirby involved. And it was because of him that the Marvel Universe sort of became what it was. Like, he wound up, he would basically like, the Marvel method was this artist would write, like, they would have the story in advance, like the story beats, they would just draw it out, then they'd fill in dialogue after. So he's really like the steering force behind a lot of this stuff. Stanley was the guy at the top being like, hey, look at me. I invented Spider-Man. But Jack Kirby was the real creative force behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And you can find more about that in my book, 100 Things Avengers Fans Should Know Before They Die.
Speaking of comics, Kryptonite was first introduced not in the comics. Kryptonite was first introduced in the Superman radio show as a way to give the voice actor who plays Superman more vacation time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Kryptonite was invented.
Man, frickin' Pete Superman needs so much time off.
Yeah. Then magic was his other weakness invented because Kryptonite is stupid. Hey, I'm the most infallible human superhero. Oh, there's only two ways to beat me. Yeah. Magic and a green
and
rock.
No sunlight.
That doesn't, yeah. Come on.
Red sunlight. The font Comic Sans, a perennial favorite of English teachers on handouts to students across the nation, was inspired by Dave Gibbons' lettering in Watchmen, the seminal comic book series. And Dave Gibbons has gone on to call that font Dreadful. Because it
Penny
truly
Dreadful?
Is. Yeah, he said it's Penny Dreadful. Nick Cage took his stage name.
Yes, he did.
Born Nick Coppola, took his stage name from Marvel's Luke Cage, who will be getting his own Netflix series in 2016.
Yep. It's called Out of the Cage, and it's called it's called Free Range Chicken.
I'm a lord of
Nicholas
war.
Nicholas Free Range. Oh, I got. I'm going to tweet that. That's stupid, but
I think we might have talked about this before, but. Some very fascinating people have come very close to playing superheroes in the past. For example, Tom Cruise was attached to play Iron Man back in the early 90s.
Here's the deal. He would have been better than... I love Robert Downey Jr., but Tom Cruise makes everything better.
Tom Cruise
would have done his stunts without the eye. He would have... Tom Cruise would have flown around in the Iron... Tom Cruise would have been able to... This is how cool Tom Cruise is. Iron Man, when he's flying around...
He would have done the monkeys in a barrel scene.
He would have done the monkeys in a barrel scene. Tom Cruise would have flown around... He would have been Iron Man without the mask, because it just like Tom Cruise is like when you see Rogue Nation, he's the only dude riding the motorcycle on the motorcycle chase without a helmet, because he's the only one actually doing that. That's not a stunt. Tom Cruise is awesome. And you put like a little pencil thin mustache on Tom Cruise and he looks like the 80s Tony Stark. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look, I love Robert.
I'm just imagining Tom Cruise with the pencil thin mustache right now, and it's pretty great.
Yeah, it is like, and he'd be good at it.
Yeah.
With his smile and his like,
You can't see it, but we're doing Tom
Cruise
smiles.
We're doing Tom Cruise smiles. Tom Cruise smile. Everybody knows it.
Exactly.
And
you can picture immediately what we're doing. Yeah. That's the power of Tom Cruise. He's a guy that, God, he had a weird couple of years there, but, you know, we did a screening last year of Edge of Tomorrow, which is fantastic. If you haven't seen that movie, see it. It's great. He walks into the room and, like, surprised the audience, did a Q&A. Immediately, like, every eye is on him. Like, everyone's electrified. He's just one of those people that walks into a room, has such a boundless charisma that you can't help but be like, oh, yeah, of course you're a movie star. Shoot. Like, we can't stop looking at you. But Tom Cruise almost played Iron Man. And Michael Jackson wanted so badly to be Spider-Man that he tried to buy Marvel Comics.
I remember reading that.
Yes.
I mean, who wouldn't? If you had the if I had Michael Jackson money, I'd buy every company that would do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you do that?
I mean,
I would buy the rights to everything if I was that.
Yeah, if I had Michael Jackson money. Well, he did buy ridiculous stuff, and that's why his estate is in arrears. Christopher Walken almost played Superman in the 1978 film starring Christopher Reeve. Christopher Walken almost nearly played Han Solo. He was in contention for Han Solo back in the day. At one point, George Lucas, I think Han Solo was originally, he was black, and then at one point, he was also a green-skinned alien. And at one point, this is my favorite, George Lucas wanted to cast Star Wars entirely with little people. Just take a moment to picture that.
That's funny.
Like, entirely. All of it. Little people. No offense. That's insane.
I would pay lots of money.
Yeah.
I liked Willow.
I can't wait to see that.
Did you hate Willow, Dan?
I did not hate Willow.
There.
I love.
Nobody hates Willow.
Here. If you hate Willow, I got two words for you. Val fucking Kilmer. Val fucking is hyphenated.
Dude, what if you had little people and then Chewbacca? Full size.
Full size Chewbacca? Amazing.
With all little people.
Armie Hammer. A.K.A. the Winklevoss twins.
Yep.
Yeah.
A.K.A. heir to the...
A.K.A. the Lone Ranger.
Armand Hammer fortune.
Yes. He was nearly Batman when George Miller was going to direct Justice League.
Yeah, that would have been
great. And the villain, Vandal Savage, was going to be Justin Baruchel.
The fuck is that?
Or Jay Baruchel.
Jay Baruchel.
I was thinking Justin Long.
Vandal Savage?
Justin Long and Jay Baruchel are like, split that nucleus and two of them emerged.
I mean, I guess, look, Jay Baruchel being Vandal Savage. If you don't know who Vandal Savage is, he's going to be the villain in the Legends of Tomorrow. He's the dude who lives forever.
He's basically a time-traveling immortal asshole.
But I feel like at some point in the future, like nowadays, because he can still die, right? And then he gets reincarnated, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what happens. So at some point, Vandal Savage is going to realize being a buff being like a huge muscular dude is pointless when you can just be smart.
Yeah.
Which would be why a 2015 version of Vandal Savage would be a skinny business dude. You know what I mean?
He's got apps.
You know, instead of having abs, he's got apps.
I've got a six pack of apps. Check out my apps. You can grate cheese on these apps. John Krasinski, a.k.a. Jim from The Office, a.k.a. nameless character from Big Miracle, because I didn't see that movie. He was almost Captain America.
Okay, yes.
And his wife, Emily Blunt, by the way, nice job, Jim, from The Office, a.k.a. John Krasinski. His wife, Emily Blunt, was supposed to play Black Widow, but she had to drop out due to scheduling conflicts.
Tomorrow, right? I think she
I don't think it was that. No, this is like back in like 2011 or something, maybe earlier.
Maybe.
She was supposed to be... she's supposed to be Black Widow, but she couldn't do it. January 2009, that's when she started. She was filming The Wolfman, and she'd worked with Joe Johnston previously.
She was filming
Gulliver's Travels, that Jack Black movie.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, here's the thing.
Yeah? Go on.
What's this movie about? Have you seen this movie?
Which, you need to be more specific.
Sicario.
Sicario's so good. Oh my God, Sicario.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Dan. You see movies.
If there was a hot dog.
You go see movies all the time because of your job and your review in town. What do you think of The Martian?
I haven't seen The Martian yet, but I've read the book, and the book is fantastic.
Book. My brother reads the book. My brother's like sucking the book's dick. He's like, dude, the book's so good.
It's a really quick read.
Like,
it's
why would I read a book when I can watch a good movie?
Because it's a fun read, very sciencey, like super bleak gallows humor.
Is it a long book or is it a short book?
It's like 300 pages, but rip through it. It's like a beach read. Yeah. Because like it doesn't get bogged down with the science. It's it's a fast read.
Speaking of books, I'm writing a book.
Yeah?
I'm compiling a book.
That's awesome.
If anybody is listening wants to steal this idea, you can do it because I'm probably not going to actually finish it. But it's going to be called, and you might have one of these. And there's three of us in the room, and I have one of these. So even if the other two don't, I still make up for the fact that I have one of these, okay?
A third nipple.
The consensus of the book is going to be the name of the book is Ellipsis, like dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
And then Andy Dick showed up.
Oh, God.
Because everybody in Los Angeles,
everyone
Chicago,
does have an
New
Andy
York,
Dick story.
Everybody has a story where they've at least encountered Andy Dick or a friend of theirs.
You should start that as a Tumblr first.
I think I'm
like right. Do that and like have people eventually submit them because I've heard so many.
Want to hear a few of these already?
Yeah, of course, dude. What the? Oh my God! I saw him the other day when I was eating. I was getting dinner in Santa Monica. He just shows up and I like braced immediately. I'm like, oh God, something bad's gonna happen. But then thankfully it didn't.
Okay, here we go. This is one where it's pretty much this is the guy. His friend was dating him at the time, and he peed on her bed. So that's a short story. Here's a longer one. One time, I was driving home, and on La Brea and Sunset, I saw some guys roughing up another guy, pushing him around, and then trying to actually push him into oncoming traffic. I wanted to help the guy, but that's weird to insert my 4'10" girl self into an altercation. Then I realized the guy they were trying to push into traffic was Andy Dick. I drove on.
Cold. That is cold-blooded. He was a valued part of the news radio cast.
Let's see here. I got a couple others here. I spoon-fed him jambalaya at Dylan's one night. He was hammered and hitting on my boyfriend at the time and literally eating off of our plates. Here's a two-parter.
Previously on Andy.
So this is a two-parter. This is one, a friend of mine who worked at Dylan's. Then the other one is a friend of mine who happened to be at Dylan's there at the same night.
Oh, wow.
I 86'd them. I kicked him out from Dylan's, and in retaliation, he pissed on the front door. We chased him down the street. Response to that is my friend who happened to be there that night. I was there that night. He was hammered by the pool table screaming, "Do you fucking know who I am?"
I think that's like the worst thing you can scream that isn't like a racial epithet. Like, just the most, as a person, just like the most arrogant, like, fuck you kind of thing. I've heard several people. One time at Comic-Con, someone who shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
I heard he was getting turned away from a party, and I heard him say, "Don't you know who I am?"
Hey, but Blues Brothers was a great movie.
Screaming it. Hey, someone who shall remain nameless. I'm just saying,
Blues Brothers.
Unrelated. Skipping over. Anyway.
Dan Aykroyd.
Also.
That was
Reese Witherspoon.
Dan Aykroyd was good.
When she got pulled over.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd was in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah. He certainly played Short Round.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you listen to this show, you've listened to the Nerdist podcast, and you've listened to the episode where that person's been named, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Anyway, but I'm not trying to stir the pot.
There's no pot to be stirred.
Yes.
One time, I almost was like going to read this and just insert the name just to fuck with you.
Yeah, you could.
This is back to Andy Dick. Here's another one. One time, he showed up drunk and coked out at Barney's Beanery with a Tupac impersonator.
What? A Tupac impersonator? What if that was the real Tupac?
And within 10 minutes, someone walked over and dumped an entire bottle of ketchup on him. He got upset and stormed out, also walking out on his bill. Found out later, the person who threw the ketchup on him was a server from a different restaurant where he walked out on his bill and she got fired.
Oh my God.
Holy cow.
Who immediately is like, I want to dump ketchup on Andy Dick?
So funny.
Honestly, who throws a shoe? Who dumps ketchup?
But yes, so I'm writing a book, Dan.
Yeah,
I'm gonna just compile.
Seriously, start that as a Tumblr. Like, just start compiling
He's like the
fans involved.
He's like the poor, not cool Bill Murray that shows up in places.
Yeah, no, like no one will believe you. Yes, Andy, everyone will believe me.
No, then I'm gonna get him to write the foreword.
So if you guys have cool Andy Dick stories,
yes,
please send them to Razzle.
Yeah, tweet me or Facebook me or send us at todaywelearn@gmail.com. todaywelearnpodcast@gmail.com, which I keep forgetting to check. But
yeah.
I check it on occasion when I remember the password.
And
nobody emails us, so email us.
Please hashtag it my dick story. Hashtag my dick story. Join the conversation about your dick story.
Allegedly
today.
Stories. These are all alleged tales of Andy Dick.
Yes, alleged.
Alleged for the
hashtag
legal.
My alleged dick story.
My alleged dick story. Allegedly dick. Apocryphal tales of
a woeful dick in Los Angeles.
Tales of the origin, and it all went downhill from there. That's another way of saying
Dickfinity
War.
I think this has been full of hosts. We'd like to thank our guest today, a mute Franciscan monk. Thank you for being here. Sorry we didn't address you at all, but you know what? I think your traditions are weird and your manuscripts could be better illuminated, so deal with it. So that's all we got going on today. Thank you for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. You can reach us online at TWL Podcast on Twitter. We are on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan. And you can also send us an email, as Razzle mentioned, todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com. We promise we'll check it. Even if you're trying to give us a free Xbox or thousands of Asian teens.
Or a cell phone.
Yeah, if you're a Nigerian prince, we're going to need to see some credentials.
Yes.
If you are a Nigerian prince impersonator, we're going to need a YouTube video.
Yeah, and I want to say to my Uncle Tony Scolari in South Africa, I transferred you $13,000 that you asked for, and I still didn't get my $50,000 car you promised
me. Oh, Tony's your uncle too? What a small world. I didn't realize that we were related. Anyway, that's crazy stuff.
Did you send him money also?
Yeah, I sent him sent him my life savings. I sent him my Pokemon cards. And guys, if you want to talk to us individually, guess what? We are online as well. You can find me on the World Wide Web at OsteoFerocious on Twitter and Instagram. And you can find Razzle on Twitter at MyNameIsRazzle2.
Yep.
On Instagram at MyNameIsRazzle.
Yep.
And
Reddit. My name is Razzle3.
Tinder.
Tinder. You can find me on Tinder at Razzle. You can find me on Bumble at Eric. Or you can find me on Raya at Eric.
What's Raya?
Oh, it's a new one.
What is it? What's different about it? What's it?
Oh, shit. She's not going to listen. Yeah, so I'll tell you because I don't give a fuck. But nobody, listen, holy shit, it's, I'll show you this. Ah, maybe I shouldn't, because I'm going to try and set up
all right,
a date
we'll talk
chick.
About it later.
We'll talk about
anyway,
it later. Like it's a new dating app, but it's like a thing. You guys will look it up.
R-A-Y-A.
It's like exclusive, like they make it, like it's, you need to be vetted through Instagram cool. to get on here and all of that. And
you need to have the illest dick pics.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, you pay for it, but it's exclusive, like they make it. They forcefully make it exclusive.
We're ferreting out the sick zebras from the wheat.
But this is it, and I'm just showing Dan on air who I matched with the other day and who's been chatting me up.
Let's see this.
You guys know.
Oh, hell yeah. Whoa! Oh, man! Holy cow. I hope this happens.
This is a story.
Wow. Guys, what? This is going to be a story for another podcast.
Like, holy shit. Like, I said no first. Then I'm like, I regretted it. Then luckily it gave me another option, and I said yes. So then we matched, and then she started chatting me up.
Truly incredible. Oh my god, you guys! Oh, I can't wait to tell you. But in the meantime, I'll tell you this: if you are so inclined, if you are a fan of Star Wars, I have a new book coming out on November 1st. 100 things Star Wars fans should know and do before they die. Everything from Jar Jar Binks' tragic origin story to, as I mentioned, George Lucas's insane plans for the original trilogy to some awesome cocktail recipes. You can make your own blue milk and just pretend you're in the Tatooine Cantina. Listen to some jizz music. Yes, it's called Jizz Music by Figrin Don and the Modal Nodes. Guys, I'm very proud of this book. I really hope you enjoy it. It's available for pre-order now at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you have any questions, tweet me about it. And if you like what you see, please consider leaving a review. Likewise, my Avengers book, 100 Things Avengers Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die, is still available. If you've read it, enjoyed it, please leave me a review on Amazon, because every little bit helps. That it's something with their algorithm. The more reviews it has, the more likely it is to get put into different lists and suggested to other people. And I spent a lot of time on these. I wrote like 200,000 something words between the two, so I'd like people to read them. And that is that. Also, Extra Life. I'm participating in a very cool cause called Extra Life. It's a video game charity live stream. And basically, this is raising money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, a fantastic organization across the country with hospitals providing care to children who are suffering from cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, cancer, some really scary situations that kids should not have to be in. And what's great about CMN hospitals is they will foot the bill even if the parents can't afford it. They're not going to turn away a kid in need just because the cost of medical care is so exorbitant. And so I'm partnering with Geek & Sundry and Nerdist.com. We're raising money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. You can find my donation page specifically. I'm raising money for Boston area hospitals, or if you just want to join the team, fundraise along with us. We're going to be doing a 24-hour live stream on October 24th, twitch.tv/Nerdist. Again, that is twitch.tv/Nerdist. If you head to the Extra Life website, just search my name, Dan Casey, or Nerdist.com, or Geek and Sundry. You will find our stuff, find out how to get involved. And if you can't donate, please consider just sharing out the link, because honestly, every little bit helps. Every little other eye, every piece, every person we can bring this attention to, their attention to this, helps out. So I really appreciate it. And I apologize for rambling so much, but thank you.
Yeah, do that. And then I'm just going to plug this real quick. It's like 3 or 4 weeks out probably. But I'm producing and created and directed a YouTube series that's coming out about a bunch of like drunk comedians and YouTubers getting drunk and playing old board games. And it's really funny. And
that's awesome.
Really,
what's it called?
Tentatively titled "Every Game's a Drinking Game."
Nice.
Right now, but that might change because I think it's too long. But my other,
I think you should just call it "Drinking Games."
I know, but there's already a / "Drinking Games" on YouTube, so we're trying to figure that out. But heads up, we're deliberating on the name and we're looking into that. So if you have suggestions, let me know.
Blasted from the past.
That's a funny one.
Yeah,
that's good.
If you got a good idea,
yeah,
for the name,
for a name for this channel where people get drunk and play board games, let me know. But yeah, keep an eye out for that. We filmed 6 episodes last Sunday, and it was really, really fun. And as a sober person, I was over it by the 6th game, but it was fun. it was really fun. We got a lot of funny stuff. So I don't know. Just keep an eye out for that. That's the only thing I got in the works.
Sweet. So guys, thanks a lot. Take care. Anything you want to plug, Aristotle?
Absolutely.
Oh,
come
a little
on
addendum.
Come on to mic. Come get on the mic, motherfucker, dude. Come on.
This next DJ coming
to
the stage.
DJ is getting on the
Aristotle.
Views.
He's got the phrase that pays.
Real quick. The Santa Anita racetrack over in the Arcadia area, this is very specific to the Los Angeles area, was one of those Japanese internment camps.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yikes. So don't let that bum you out the next time you're there for Dollar Beer Day watching horses race.
Exactly. Justin Roiland also plays the voice of Mr. Meeseeks in Rick and Morty.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks, look at me!
Hi, I'm Mr. Meeseeks, look at me!
Also happens to be Lemon Grab from Adventure Time.
Yes, he is Lemon Grab. And he also created a weird-ass show called House of Cosby's back in the day.
Yeah.
Ugh, don't want to go to that house.
No, not anymore. Man, him being a serial rapist has really taken all the fun out of doing Cosby impressions.
Isn't it? Yeah. But you put the thing... I'm just a huge fan of Quaaludes, so I can still do it.
Yeah, I love Wolf of Wall Street.
And then the third thing is the superheroes, almost actors. Nick Cage, almost
yes.
Superman, in a Tim Burton-directed Superman.
Yeah, Tim Burton-directed, yeah. Kevin Smith-written script for... it was going to be called Superman Lives... And there's a fantastic, or death, it was going to be called The Death of Superman. Right, no, it was going to be called Superman Lives. My mind is pudding right now. But a friend of the show, John, why can't I remember his last name? It's going to drive me freaking nuts. No, anyway, John Schnepp, God, thank you.
Yes.
John Schnepp, past and hopefully future guest on this very podcast, John Schnepp made a documentary called The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened, examining this movie, concept art, behind-the-scenes interviews, exclusive interviews with everyone from Tim Burton to Kevin Smith and beyond about what exactly went wrong or went awry with this project, why it never happened, because it sounded truly batshit crazy. So that movie is available for purchase on VOD now. So consider supporting a friend of the podcast. Yes. Anyway, that's pretty much all we got for today.
Yeah. Again, as always, thanks for listening and thanks for telling your friends and thanks for everything and the support over the last 2 years.
Yeah. You
know? So, everybody be good to each other. And as always,
that's the way the news goes.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.